Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Speaking of staying in your job and being sick, by the way, first up tonight, we're going to be delving into this shocking report in the Irish Examiner that reveals that nearly 400 school staff have been forced to take leave due to assaults in the classroom. And this is not teachers assaulting the kids. This is the other way around, by the way. The report states that more than 1,300 teachers and special needs assistants have taken leave since 2020, having sustained physical injuries during the course of their duties. It's a sobering statistic that raises serious questions about the challenges teachers and school staff face every single day. And in a few moments, I'll be speaking with a teacher to get his perspective on this troubling issue. But we also want to hear from you, our listeners. Has the classroom discipline gone too far in the wrong direction? And since the banning of corporal punishment back in, 1982, have we gone too soft? Has the pendulum swung the other way? And I spoke to a teacher recently, a friend of mine, and she said to me, you're not even allowed to raise your voice to them anymore because they'll report you to their parents. The parents are up to the school. It's not worth the trouble. You can't even raise your voice or that will have repercussions. Whereas back in 1982, you could box the heads off them. I'm not suggesting that was right. Of course it wasn't. But what I'm saying is, has the pendulum swung too far that there's no discipline now in the classroom at all? Send us your thoughts. Let us know what you think. Actually, this school teacher was telling me she gave a kid lines in detention for a serious, you know, level of gross misconduct in the class. And she was reported by the parents saying the child had anxiety doing the lines. I mean, how many times did I get lines in school, for God's sake? Anyway, I want to get your thoughts. I want to know, the question quite simply is, has the pendulum swung too far and is there no discipline in the classroom anymore? Let me know what you think, but I want to go to Eric Nelligan, who joins me from AIN2. Eric, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you?
Good.
Nice to hear you back and a lovely voice again. Your lovely tones are back on the airwaves.
Yeah, I was dying, Eric. I was really dying. I thought my number was up there before Christmas. I had a really bad, I don't know whether you've got it yet, but I think everybody's got it at this stage, a really bad cold. And it seems to last forever. You know what I mean? I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, by the way, congratulations to AIN2, got themselves another seat in the elections. Are you disappointed you didn't run yourself? I know you chose not to run to give somebody else in your area a chance, your constituency a chance. Are you disappointed you didn't run?
No, I'm not disappointed I'm wrong. You have to be, to run to be a TD, you have to be there in that part of your life, and I'm not there yet. Okay. We had an excellent candidate in Limerick. She finished a couple of hundred votes behind Conor Sheehan, who ultimately took the last seat. So she was close, not quite there, but I've no doubt in the next time election comes up, Sarah will do a pile of work locally. I'll give her a hand, and many of our members here will, and we'll be in the running once again. Yeah. So thanks for those kind words on the growth and progress of AIN2 over the past couple of years.
And it certainly looks like, with Micheál Martin and his plans, by the way, to drag in a few independents, that maybe Padraig may be in there anyway in the next government. But we'll wait and see anyway. I'm sure that decision will be made on the, when are they back? On the 20th? 20th?
I'm a school teacher and I'm back to work Monday. Maybe I should have gone to be a TD with those colleges.
I was going to say they're like school kids, but the school kids are actually back. Well, they're going back anyway on Monday or Tuesday. Some places, Monday and other places. Anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, in 1982 it was traditional for teachers to box the heads off kids, or pre-1982. That was obviously too far. That's not the way we discipline or should discipline children. But has the pendulum swung too far now that kids, you just can't discipline them at all?
Well, what I find, one of the things I find in schools, not in my school per se, but in schools in general, when we talk about an education, they're always talking about educationalists and third level professors, they're always talking about building child's resilience. Yet we remove, in school and in life in general, we remove the elements that make someone resilient. So we're making a lot of what parenting now is, we're being very soft on our children, and in return then we're removing the resilience building aspects of childhood and of school and of life in general. But they want us to teach resilience, they want us to talk about resilience, but not actually do things that make a child resilient, if that makes sense.
No, I get it. Yeah,
that's what it's about. And it's about, like you mentioned there in your introduction, a child who was given lines and they felt overwhelmed by it. That exists. Is it down to parenting? Is it down to society? What is it down to? I don't know, but unfortunately,
it is parenting, this helicopter parenting, you know, that the child turns around and says, oh, I have anxiety because, you know, our teacher gave me lines there the other day. I don't know whether you give lines or not, you know, and that they're feeling all stressed out and everything. And then the parent goes, my poor little dote, I'll have to go up to the school and give out about that. You know, whereas the parent should be saying, do the lines. You did the, you know, you did the deed. You know, do the lines. Take the punishment. The parents should be standing up to them as well, shouldn't they?
No, they should to an extent. Look, parenting involves, like, you can't allow a child or a teenager rule the roost, so to speak, because they don't have a life experience to know how things should go, how things should develop.
But they are ruling the roost. There's more absenteeism in schools now than there ever was before because kids are waking up going, "Mammy, I don't feel well, I'm not going to school."
And I wonder, like, I know we're probably moving away from the school side of things here, but I wonder, is it down to now, because in the vast majority of families, both parents work long hours. And not like when I was growing up, when my mom didn't work, or she worked a little bit part-time. My dad worked, obviously. Both parents now are more than likely to work. They probably spend a lot of time commuting to work in the car, in the bus, in the train, or whatever way they're commuting. And they don't see their kids as much. So when they're there for their kids, they need to make sure they do what they think is best for the children. Mm. And that might then mean they have to kind of, they're mollycoddling them, or they're being nicer than they would be if they were there with them all day. And it's hard to say exactly, but I suppose back to the original topic about assault in school. Unfortunately, it's a reality, and it's a reality.
Have you been
not
a victim of that? Have you ever been the victim?
I have, unfortunately.
Yeah, you teach boys, young boys. Yeah, obviously.
Well,
yeah.
This was actually before my current school, so it was my very first year out teaching. I was probably teaching a couple of weeks, and I was grabbed. A student came up to me, and I was on duty in the yard, and there was a tuck shop in the yard, and the tuck shop couldn't open until the teacher was present. That was the rules of the school. So I was walking up towards it, and some young fella didn't think I was getting there fast enough, and he came up to me and he grabbed me by the shirt or the jumper, yeah, I was wearing. Do you know what I mean? So, like, is that an assault? In today's society, it probably is. I wasn't pushed or kicked or hit or anything, but I was grabbed by the. I was grabbed by the collar of the shirt, so to speak.
Yeah.
And
no, well, it was something that you wouldn't dream of doing 30 years ago, that was for sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. No, oh, no way. Now, look, that boy had a troubled background and stuff. And I felt at the time, looking back now, it was dealt with horrendously by the school. I think the boy was suspended for one day and then he came back in. He had to give me a mealy-mouth apology. And I was dealt really poorly by the school. I got no, like, I didn't get any support from the school. I felt I got no support. Looking back now, at the time I felt it was just fine. But looking back now, I don't think in today's society that would, like, how dealt with then would be acceptable now. But you know what?
What about back chat? I mean, looking at this particular article in the Irish Examiner, it talks about teachers sustaining physical injuries, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a second. But just back chat in general, you know, I mean, like your father, there was no way, you know, when I was in secondary school, no, I went to De La Salle College, which is a Christian brother school, and there were mainly Christian brothers, and you certainly wouldn't have given them any cheeky to box in the head for yourself, right? But, you know, we wouldn't dare give a teacher, even a lay teacher, cheek. You know, you wouldn't turn around and say, you know, I'll do it yourself, or I haven't got my homework done, who do you think you are, or whatever, I don't know. But nowadays, and I spoke as a friend of mine, she's female, she's a teacher, and she said they actually call her names. Like, one of them called her the C word one day. She actually called her the C word. And she said, I went home in tears. You know what I mean?
That's tough to hear. Unfortunately, look, there are some schools where maybe the management isn't on top of the ball, where maybe some of the demographics or some of the supports from parents mightn't be there. And some schools, discipline is an issue in some schools. Thankfully, that's not the case in the majority of schools, but it is an issue. And so, like, again, I harp my own. I bring in my own experience here. I taught for 1 year in a tough school, and I found it very challenging. And what I've realised since I moved on is that it wasn't me that was the problem. It was because now, thankfully, I've gone very well in my current school and the other schools I taught in. But it wasn't me that was the problem. It was just the atmosphere in that school wasn't working. The management in the school weren't able to control or put out a discipline plan that the children in the school could abide to and the teachers could support. And so sometimes that's there.
But I'm just curious, Eric, and I'm not judging you, by the way, but do you raise your voice? Like, would you change the tone of your voice, you know, say with an individual who hasn't got their homework done, or, you know, who's not listening, or, you know, is gossiping in the class or chatting in the class when your back is turned? Do you raise your voice?
Rarely. I raise my voice rarely. Look, I'm teaching 24 years now. And I now have a good reputation in the school I'm teaching, where, thankfully, and that's the one good thing I say about boys, is in a boys' school, if you get a good reputation, it can nearly pass through the decades. And lads from 20 years ago will say,
Eric is cool, yeah.
And it nearly passes through. The brothers nearly passes through. But the opposite is also the case in a boys' school. if a teacher comes in and if they find it hard in the first couple of weeks and they can't manage or maintain the discipline in the classroom, that's it, their reputation is gone, and they would be targeted. Like, it sounds bad, but they'll be almost, the boys then would pick them as wrong. But they,
so you just don't show weakness? What you're saying is you don't show any weakness. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyone listening who wants to become a teacher out there, you need to find a school where your personality fits. And when you can find that school, then things will go well. But if your personality doesn't fit into the ethos and the discipline and the atmosphere in the school, well, then I would say just move on to another school and find one that suits your personality.
Coming back to the parents, when I read this article and it says, the 1,300 teachers since 2020 have sustained a physical injury, right? That's quite serious, right? Some of them, by the way, in special needs assistance as well. So obviously, some of those children might have special needs, et cetera, et cetera. But in saying that, going back to the person that I know as a teacher, she's in a school in a disadvantaged area. And she said she feels so sorry. She said, like, there was one kid, she said he's about 12 years of age. And she said, I know he has the potential to be a really clever kid. But she said he's coming in, he's tired. And the reason he's tired is because he's got bad parenting who let him stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning on his phone, on Instagram or TikTok or whatever the hell he's on. And he said he's coming into school knackered and he has a bad attitude. Social media has a huge role to play in this as well, and what they're seeing on social media.
Well, look, so many children and teenagers are up all night on their phones, and that's the key. If phones can be taken away from the kids when they go to bed, out of the bedroom, that at least they have a chance of going to sleep much faster. But in terms of assaults and violence in the classroom, unfortunately, it's reasonably common. There was a survey carried out by the INTO last year, and it found that 42% of mainstream teachers have been physically assaulted, and in special schools, that rises to 96%.
Wow.
And when I say physically assaulted, like at the lower end, this means like biting, scratching,
punching,
kind of pushing, things like that. And it has really grown in the last couple of years. What the survey also found is that since 2019, the amount of incidents have more than doubled. So they've gone from 3,500 incidents in 2019 up to 7,500 in 2023.
Wow.
And do you know what this comes down to? The government made a policy change in the last 4 or 5 years now, where they're bringing special units into mainstream schools. And they're doing it for certain reasons. But what that means is mainstream teachers like myself, I have no training whatsoever in, because when I did my teaching degree way back in the late 90s and early 00s, this type of stuff wasn't covered. So most mainstream teachers have very little training on how to work with students with different types of needs. And there's so many types of needs out there. And those children now come in and out of our classrooms, and we're not quite sure we haven't been trained in how to deal with them.
Wow.
And you're in a classroom with 20 or 25 kids, and next thing a child with real needs comes in, they may have a special needs system or may not, and that's what's leading to it. So because there's now far more kids with needs in schools, the mainstream teachers are unable, they can't quite maybe word things properly. And that's where I feel the violence is coming from, more so than maybe actual, like, I'm not saying a student going mad and attacking teachers doesn't happen, but I'm saying most of it probably comes from special kids with special needs in the mainstream classroom, where the teacher mightn't be quite sure on read the signs of a child maybe on the verge of a breakdown, or maybe a child not quite understanding what's going on, or not being able to handle the being in a classroom with 25 other boisterous kids doing technology or maths or whatever the topic is, and they find it
hard. Two more quick things. Just before we finish, two more quick things. You might have heard in the news there, by the way, the reaction to the suggestion that career breaks should be banned for teachers because of the amount of teachers that are constantly on career breaks all the time, which could be quite damaging, I suppose, for students because they'd find a replacement teacher, et cetera, et cetera. Some people will argue that's a good thing because it frees up another position for, a new teacher who may then in turn get a full-time job in the future. So do you agree with the career breaks, this idea that a teacher can, go off for whatever it is, 3 to 5 years? Do you agree with the idea that their job is held open?
I think what you mentioned there is the key. 5 years, that's very long. If someone wants to go away for a year, travel the world, see Australia or the Bahamas or wherever they want to go, I think that's fine.
Why is it fine? I can't do that. You know what I mean? Most people in the private sector can't do that. I mean, but it's only the public sector. Why is it okay?
Because when you're teaching, you're dealing with people. And that's what the content I teach every year doesn't change, or more or less doesn't change, but the people change. And so having these life experiences and being able to talk about them, that's what teaching is. Teaching is dealing with people, dealing with young people. And if you can bring life experiences, and if you can improve the life experience of a teacher, they can bring that back to the classroom. So
okay.
And remember,
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not like the classroom is left empty while they're gone. There is scope to bring someone in. If you're looking for more, if you need more teachers, there's a clear shortage of teachers. I think it was on the radio today. There's 800 teachers in jobs that are teaching subjects and not qualified to teach them because of such a shortage. That's a crazy amount. There's subjects being dropped, especially in Dublin and major and the commuter counties. There's subjects being dropped in schools because they can't find teachers.
Final question for you, Eric, because I've got about 30 or 40 seconds here. What's going to be the biggest challenge for 2025 in the teaching industry? Do you think it's going to be the curriculum? Is that going to be a big problem for people? We've heard an awful lot of arguments in relation to the curriculum over the last year or so, the kind of wokeness of the curriculum.
Can I be straight with you here, Niall?
Yeah.
It's the potential changes to the leaving cert are going to be disastrous. A new junior cert came in about 5 or 6 years ago and it has meant that the best students are operating at a far lower ability level than the best students would have been previously because the standard is so low. And those junior cert students are now gone to leaving cert and they're finding it really tough. So they have to drop the leaving cert to allow students to perform at it, and this is where we're now going to have a weaker leaving cert. So that means the best students in the country leaving school in the next couple of years will be worse than what's gone out before, simply because the leaving cert will be a dumbed down version. That's the main concern I would have.
Well, look, I'll talk to you more about that in more detail maybe at a future date. Eric Nelligan, AIM2. Listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.